Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am honored, truly honored, to share the microphone with the most interesting entrepreneurs, authors, and speakers who have wonderful stories to share and who are freely excited to share their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today, I'm excited. I get to interview somebody that I have shared a mastermind group with. That's how I got to meet her. And I'm chatting with Dr. Carrie Drisga. Now, Dr. Carrie is known internationally as the functional medicine doc. She is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems and fix the cause with natural treatment so they can feel normal again. Her name is pronounced Drisga. It's Polish, but everybody calls her Dr. Carrie. And if you see the way it's spelled, you know why. It took me four different tries, even though I was looking at it, to spell it properly. So I'm so proud that I can pronounce her name properly. She has been in private practice since 1996 and is the founder of Functional Medicine Ontario in Ottawa. And she holds two doctoral degrees, chiropractic and naturopathic medicine. Additionally, she has training in functional medicine and the Kalish, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, method, and is a certified gluten practitioner. Always an avid learner, she has obtained a level of expertise in her profession that no other doctor in Canada has achieved. Excellent. I mean, congratulations, Dr. Carrie. She also speaks and gives interviews on such topics as natural treatments for fatigue, which is what we're going to really cover today, chronic pain, hypothyroidism, and digestive health. She has been a featured guest expert on multiple podcasts and a featured speaker at the Eastern Ontario Chiropractic Society. She is also the author of Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again, Fixing the Root Cause of Your Fatigue with Natural Treatments. And be sure to check out her podcast, The Functional Medicine Radio Show. There are links to both the book and her website and her podcast in the show notes. Good morning, Dr. Carrie. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio.
Good morning, Denise. It's such an honor and a pleasure to talk to you today and to help your listeners out with some helpful tips.
I'll be honest with you, I'm probably the one that's going to benefit the most. As we were chatting in the green room, and as you know from being in the same mastermind, so many of us are just, we're high-functioning workaholics, and we just don't know when to shut our little squirrel brains down. And after a while, we really do some damage to ourselves, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So I know for me, I was going to say, I love what I do. I'm very passionate about treating patients and passionate about practicing functional medicine. And as a doctor, I think a lot of times people forget that doctors are also, we have to run a practice, which is a business. And so we are entrepreneurs in that sense. And so I have a lot in common with a lot of your listeners in that way, that pure entrepreneurial spirit and just having a vision, having a goal, knowing my passion and just really wanting to go for it and being an achiever type A.
Right. And we really don't know when to stop, do we, until we kind of hit that wall and go, well, crud, now what?
Exactly. Yeah. I know for myself, I'm really passionate about what I do. So, I'm in my office seeing patients at Functional Medicine Ontario. I see patients 3 days a week. But the rest of the time when I'm not in the office, I have so much fun doing my podcasts, writing blog posts, just doing research on all the new and interesting topics that are coming up in healthcare. Plus, on top of that, running all the day-to-day business stuff. So there's a lot. And, you know, when you start thinking about that, adding that up towards the end of that week, I know for myself, I'm easily putting in, you know, 50, 60 hours a week. I'm commonly on my day off. I'm commonly, you'll find me at my desk in my pajamas from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed.
You and me both. And I think it's a very common thing with people who are entrepreneurs, who are solopreneurs, who are running both a business, be it brick and mortar and an online business. We just,
yes.
We're driven to do the things that we do because we're passionate, we're excited, we're very, very inquisitive, and most of us have cast iron stomachs. We just don't know when we fail. Failure is, you know, kind of like the words in, I think it was, came out of the Apollo program, failure is not an option. I mean, we find a way to go around it, which again kicks us into monkey brain. We're like, oh, hang on a second, I just figured something out. So what can we do? Because I'll be honest with you, Dr. Carrie, I find myself at the end of the night trying to go to sleep. I mean, I have actually taken the advice of one of my prior guests and started making bedtime an event instead of me just falling over and drooling. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's funny that you say
that. It's
hard
to shut it. It's hard to shut it down.
Yeah, I was interviewing, who was I interviewing? Melissa Curtis on my podcast, and she was talking about, you know, a lot of people have like the cocktail hour, and she basically turned her cocktail hour into a relaxation hour, basically turned her whole like routine, you know, her whole bed routine into a whole hour event that she does every single night to help really shut her brain down, to help really get really good deep sleep at night. Because without sleep, the first thing that starts to suffer is your brain. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, we tend to go, go, go. And I've heard even some of them say like, well, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I am guilty of saying that. So is Jim Palmer. Just so Jim knows that we are paying attention. I've heard him say the same thing. Jim Palmer,
you know,
by the way, is our business coach there for a while. So,
yeah,
I do the same thing, Dr. Carrie. It's really sad.
Yeah, so when we start cutting into our sleep time, the first thing that will be impacted is your brain. And as an entrepreneur, your biggest asset is you and having a good, sharp brain so that you can, you know, hit the goals and targets that you're aiming for. You can think of new creative ideas and creative solutions to problems. You can invent the next biggest thing to go out on Shark Tank. I mean, who knows? But that all starts with you, your health, and the health of your brain, really.
So basically, we can't just go as we've always gone on. We have to actually find some discipline in our lives, self-discipline.
It is, yeah. I don't think I'm saying anything new here, but it really is about self-discipline and finding the balance in your life. The balance between your work life, the balance between your family life, your private, you know, just time for you, yourself. I have so many patients, so many women that come in, and they're taking care of everybody and everything except themselves. And they put themselves last on the list when they should be putting themselves at the top of the list.
I find that women tend to do, I'm guilty of it. I think we just largely are born with that nurture gene, and it's just kind of what we do.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to step back and say, okay, time for healthy selfishness time. You know, my attitude about taking a bath is if anybody's in my house and they want to bang on my bathroom door, I offer to shoot them through it. It's like, go away. This is my alone time. You know, come near that door again, I will hurt you.
Do not disturb sign on the handle.
That's right. But it is difficult, I find, for a lot of female entrepreneurs to kind of shut it down and say, hey, it's about me now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I
think
some of that is...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think some of that has to do with creating boundaries for yourself.
Right. Well, how do you counsel with these women and say, okay, listen, you need to make me time, whether you put it in your calendar, whether you just automatically take it? How do you kind of point them in that direction? It is difficult for us, and I know it sounds like a simple concept.
And it's not simple.
No, not even.
So with the different women I see in my practice, and I see men in my practice as well, but a lot of my practice is women just by nature. And I will make suggestions, just as you said, you know, for some of them it is, you need to schedule an appointment for yourself and you need to put it in your electronic calendar. It might need to be every day, a 5-minute appointment with yourself to just take five deep breaths or to do a 5-minute meditation. And sometimes with women too, we have to let them know that it's okay to give yourself permission for time off and
to
have
fun. Why is that? Look, I do calendar my me time. I live alone. I'm an introvert. I almost never have to leave my house, which is, you know, I designed it that way. But I still have to schedule downtime. It's the craziest thing. And on the face of it, if you were to look at my calendar, you'd think, okay, she's kind of nuts. But if I don't do it, I will work and work and work until I fall down.
Mm-hmm. So for some people, it really is, like for you, you put it in your schedule, your work time and your downtime. And so for a lot of people that are very schedule-oriented, the best. And for other people, they're not so schedule-oriented. They're a little bit more flexible. For me, you know, I'm a little bit more flexible that way. But I guess, one of the things that I have is two Basset Hounds. And these two Basset Hounds look at me at about 8 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and they start bothering me and reminding me, hey, mommy, it's time to take us out for a walk.
Right.
And so I know for myself that that's a way for me to get some downtime, to take an hour to go out there just in nature. And I don't wear headphones. I don't wear my iPod or anything. I just try and, while I'm out there, I just try and enjoy listening to the birds chirp and looking at the flowers and looking at the trees and just being very aware and present in my environment, smelling the different scents in the air from the cedar trees, from the different flowers and whatnot, and just walking along and just being very present in the moment and just trying to enjoy that downtime. So that's what works for me.
I'm so glad
you mentioned
you said
that. You schedule things. What do you
do
for your downtime?
Well, largely what you just described, but I had to teach myself to do it. You know, I have a dog. I have multiple cats. I'm desperately afraid I'll turn into the crazy cat lady. But I have learned to, and I've had to teach myself, this is kind of like some mental energy work that I've had to do, because our brains just keep going. I mean, we're always thinking millions of thoughts, it seems like, at the same time. And it's too easy to eat your dinner in front of your desk, you know, in front of your computer monitor or in front of the TV. And I have trained myself slowly, because, you know, some bad habits that I've picked up, to not have any distractions, even a book. And I love to read. I read probably 5 or 6 books a week, if not more. And I mean, all of my life since I was a small child, I would read the milk carton if I had to. But I always had a book or something to read in front of me at the dinner table if my father wasn't present to catch me at it. And that became a lifelong habit, and I had to really work that out of and just sit down with my dinner, because I love to cook, and really enjoy it and really taste it. Oftentimes I will go outside and eat at the bistro table in my backyard, listen to the birds, watch the dog. It makes a huge difference in how I enjoy my food, digest my food, calm my little monkey brain down, and frankly, eat a whole lot less, because you're really savoring it.
Yeah, you're
but
slowing
it took
down.
Some doing. Yeah, it took,
yeah.
I have to
it's
say.
It's funny how
it
when you slow down, you actually eat less food, because you get you recognize when you get full.
Right,
and I will
and
say
you enjoy
that.
It so much more.
And I'll say in our house here, my husband and I were married 19 years, and for about 18 of those years, we would just come home and just plop in front of the TV and eat our dinner in front of the TV for 18 years. I'm a little bit embarrassed to say that, but that was our habit. And then at some point last year, he said, well, what he did was I came home and he like cleared off the kitchen table of all the crap that was piled on it. He cleared it all off and he was like, okay, we're going to eat dinner at the table tonight. And I said, well, is everything okay? Like, why are we eating at the dinner table? I just think we should. And so we put on a little bit of music, and now that's become our habit. Every night now we sit at the dinner table with some music and talk to each other. and, you know, just enjoy that time together. So that's a good habit too.
Yes, and I think it's so important. People just don't do that anymore. Look, I have a rule in my house because I host a lot of, you know, during the holidays, I'm always the one that hosts. I love to cook. I think I mentioned that. And in my house is suited for that kind of activity. I made it a rule some years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, to put your devices in the car. Do not bring a phone into my house. Do not have a tablet in my house. You are here for a holiday. I just spent a lot of money and a lot of time to cook this meal. First phone goes into the iced teapot. I'm telling you right now, don't do it. And they don't. Yeah, it's, you know, you hate to be that tough, but it's just ridiculous what people do now.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a really good point about technology, that technology has made it very convenient for people to get in touch with us and for us to be in touch with our patients, our customers, our partners and whatnot. But that comes at a detriment too, right? Always having to be available. I know for me personally, I'm one of the very few people in the world that doesn't have a cell phone because I don't want people contacting me. I'm either at home or I'm at the office. If you cannot find me in one of those two places, that means I don't want to be found.
There you go. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't give my cell phone to clients. I just don't. Maybe two clients have my cell phone number. And if they are texting me or calling me, it better be an emergency, and they know that. Half the time, the battery's dead on it. I'm too easy to find. My cell phone is kind of like my last little holdout. Don't bug me. You know, that's, I use it for when I'm driving. I don't use it when I'm driving, but if I'm going to be in the car going somewhere, I want the phone with me. But otherwise, I really don't use it very much. In fact, one day, you know, I realized I hadn't seen it in a day or two, and I found it chirping in a bag of cherries in the crisper. I was like, oh, that's how important my cell phone is to me. It was in the refrigerator.
Oh, that's funny.
But so how can people just be, give us some tips on some things that they can do to just check out and relax and just say, okay, I'm shutting my brain down. I'm not going to work in my brain. I'm going to reconnect with my family, with my husband, with myself. Can you give us some steps or tips that people can kind of take away from this call? Because I think it's important. Look, I had to retrain myself. It's very important. Because, I mean, after a while, your body hurts, your back hurts, your brain hurts. I've had days where my hair hurt. It's ridiculous what we do to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like to call this vitamin R. Vitamin R is rest, relaxation, and recreation. So whatever it is for you that fits into that category of rest, relaxation, and recreation is a good thing. So some ideas. So when it comes to rest and trying to shut your brain off and just like helping with stress management, you know, a very simple thing is to take some deep breaths. And I've had some patients where they go online. There's a little bracelet that you can buy online. It's a little meditation bracelet that vibrates. So if you do an internet search for meditation vibration bracelet, it's just a little vibration. It'll vibrate once an hour, and it's very subtle. Nobody's going to hear it or see that or anything. And it just reminds you it's time to take 3 to 5 deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just doing that one simple thing, that one simple thing forces more oxygen to your brain, which is always good, and more oxygen to your body, which helps with energy. But it also naturally starts to put you in relaxation mode. So that's
now, I am aware
thing.
Of that, but I don't do it nearly as often as I should. I know when I'm trying to go to sleep at night, because sleep is not natural to me, I'll be honest with you. It is not something that I do easily or honestly even willingly. I have to sleep, but I don't enjoy it much. I've never been a big sleeper. I catnap. I, you know, sleep for a couple, 3 hours, and then I'm up, and then I might catch another hour or two, but that's just the way it's always been. But I have learned that when I'm really needing to go to sleep or wanting to go to sleep, I will take multiple deep breaths. I'm not trying to hyperventilate, but do exactly, you know, just feel my diaphragm and just kind of deliberately relax my body, and eventually I can go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. That's some great advice.
Yeah, that's just a simple thing. And another thing that people can do is, meditation. There's a lot of TIM meditation. There's research on meditation proving the benefits. And two simple meditations that I talk about in my book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. One is called, I called it color breathing. And actually, in my office, I have patients do this. I'll do acupuncture on them, so they'll be on the table, and I'll have the needles on them. And then I'll dim the lights, I'll walk out of the room, and I'll tell them to work on this color breathing. So what it is you just sit quietly. You can sit or you can lie down, whatever you're comfortable with. And you just close your eyes and you breathe in, and you imagine your favorite color coming in and just kind of flooding your body to the tips of your fingers and to the tips of your toes. And just you hold that, and then you breathe out a color that you hate, or you just breathe out blackness. And you just repeat that in and out. And you could just do that for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, however long you want. But I find focusing on something, in this instance, it's focusing on your favorite color, can really help with trying to calm down the chatter in your brain and help you with just relaxing. So that's one. And then the other one I talk about in the book is called four square breathing. So you just sit quietly, or you can lie down and close your eyes, and you just imagine a square. And you just visualize a square in your mind, and as you breathe in, you imagine you're moving towards one of the corners of the square. And when you get to that corner of the square, you just hold your breath, and then as you breathe out, you're breathing out, and you're just tracking down to the next corner. And then once you get to that corner, you breathe in again, and you just track over to the next corner of the square. So you're just in your mind focusing on this square, and just slowly breathing in and breathing out. And again, you could just do that for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It doesn't require extensive amounts of time. But those are two very simple meditations that work for a lot of people. And just as a reminder, meditation is a form of exercise for your brain. For those of us with type A personalities that have a hard time shutting off our brain, meditation can be very frustrating at the very beginning. And maybe you can only do it for a minute or two, but just like any exercise, you'll slowly get used to calming your brain down and quieting your brain. So you could do an internet search on meditation and probably find 3 million web pages. So I just urge you and your listeners to try and think of and to explore some of these things to find something that works for you.
I have tried meditation dozens of times, probably hundreds of times. I either start making my Thanksgiving grocery list in July, or I just say, oh, this isn't working. But I really love the idea of what you said about the colors. I mean, that just, you should see my face and, ooh, that makes sense to me. I was like,
okay, so
I
think that's
it.
Now I'm going to give you another one, and it's the very opposite of meditation. And it is something that I've been doing and I love doing, and I consider it great stress management. So I consider it part of the vitamin R, rest, relaxation, and recreation. And it's boxing. I actually take a boxing class.
Boxing? Really?
Yeah, with a professional. And we hit the heavy bag. We don't do any sparring on each other. We just hit the heavy bag and focus on technique. And I have found that boxing, so for one thing, the fact that you have to focus on hitting the bag properly automatically shuts your brain off. And then the next
sense.
Thing is, it's just really great. Pounding the crap out of a heavy bag is a really great way of getting rid of stress physically out of your body.
I'm laughing because my now former husband had one in the garage. I really should have taken advantage of it. I didn't.
And I will
I'm
admit,
have to look into that.
Yeah, I will admit, I'm called the functional medicine doc, but I, like so many people, absolutely hate exercising. But when I found boxing, it didn't so much seem like exercise as it just seemed like fun.
Yeah, and stress release, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
and that leads me to my next question. What is functional medicine?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. Oh, so functional medicine, a lot of people haven't heard about it yet. So functional medicine is just a new and upcoming area of healthcare. And basically it's about finding the root underlying cause of where symptoms come from. So it's definitely not Band-Aid medicine. So functional medicine doctors, we look at the body as a whole because everything in your body really is connected. So if you came in to me and you said, Dr. Carey, I'm stressed, I'm tired, I went to see my doctor, they ran some tests, they told me everything is normal, and typically then what they're told is one of three things. Either you need to take a vacation, or I think you need to stop working and take some time off because you're starting a burnout, or they're told, well, everything is normal. Maybe we should try you on an antidepressant, which is more or less telling them it's in your head.
Right, right.
And so with, you know, fatigue is one of the things that I specialize in, but in functional medicine, it's about, okay, where does that fatigue come from? Because it's coming from somewhere. And looking over the whole body, is it the hormones that are out of balance? Is it a parasite in the gut? Is it food sensitivities? Is it actually in the head? Is it actually in the brain as a brain chemistry imbalance? Is it, you know, eating an unhealthy diet? There's a lot of things, but looking over the whole body to find the root underlying cause and then fixing the cause with natural treatments. So that could be things like taking vitamins, taking herbs, doing diet changes, doing exercise, stress management, getting good sleep, all of that kind of stuff.
Hydrating.
And then once we... Yeah, and then once we fix the cause, it's like we're really actually getting the body to a whole new level of health again. So not only are you feeling normal again, but your body is back to a whole new level of health. So I like to say functional medicine in a nutshell is find the cause, fix the cause, and feel normal again.
And I love that approach. Look, I haven't been to a doctor in years. Longer than I really care to admit. I just don't go. I feel good. I see no reason to go in and be poked and prodded and say, oh, well, you know, you're going to need to take this medication. If you get sick in my house, you're going to have the choice of organic apple cider vinegar or unbuffered aspirin. That's it. Well, Tums. You can have some Tums if you ever really have an upset stomach. But I'm, you know, I'm not going to share those lightly because I need those. But honestly, I have a fear of medicine these days, and it may be unfounded. I don't know, but you know, I see so many people and so many drugs, and that's not normal. I don't think. I don't think it's right.
You know, I think
normal.
What you said. I think a lot of people have a fear of medicine, a fear of doctors.
They've
had bad experiences.
Avoid them.
I know from my practice, people have had a lot of bad experiences. I just got an email this morning from a patient who came in to see me with fatigue, and she has a scratchy hoarse voice. And the thing is, she's a singer, and of course, this is her life. Singing is her life; it's her passion, and she can't do it so much anymore because of her voice. So she came to see me, and I said, "Okay, we need to run some blood work and see really what's going on." I sent a letter off to her family doctor, saying, this is what I think is, I'm suspicious of these things, blah, blah, blah. And I think we need to investigate further with these tests, blah, blah, blah. And this patient that we have in common, she wants you to be involved in her integrative care. So this patient sent me an email this morning saying, thank you, Dr. Carey, for doing that. And thank you for, you know, giving me a heads up that my doctor might not be on board because he wasn't. And he made me feel like crap. I wanted to cry. And really all I want is to feel better. So
right.
I think, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, there's this disconnect between what the patient wants and what the doctor is willing to give them. And at least for functional medicine, I like to say functional medicine is a team approach. You and I, we work together as a team. You have a goal. My job is to help you get your goal. Sometimes I'm your coach. Sometimes I'm your mentor. Sometimes I'm your cheerleader. Sometimes I need to crack the whip. But my goal is to help you as a team get to your goal. So that's a kind of a different relationship.
And see, that is a relationship that makes perfect sense to me. I recently had to visit a well-known ophthalmologist in town. He wanted my eyes checked. I had some concern about my left eye. Honestly, I paid the money, I walked out, and I swore I'd never go back. I mean, I really felt like he was a used car salesman. This guy's been around forever. Everybody knows him. He was doing everything he could to push me into surgery on my left eye that I don't think I need. So I'm going somewhere else. But it's like, I just didn't like the way he made me feel. I mean, he really did his level best to, you know, make sure that I knew that he was the expert, and I pretty much had no care, no say in what he was going to do. And I went, no. And I paid my $300 and I walked out, and that was the end of that.
Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, for our generation and the generation below us, what they're really looking for is a doctor that's going to listen to them, their concerns, and that they're not going to get upset if the patient says, no, I don't want to do that. Whereas the generation, what would we say, the generation before us, above us, the older generation,
boomers,
my parents' generation,
yeah.
Let's just say that.
Right.
It was like the doctor was God, and whatever they
right.
said, they did. And then we look at that and we're like, ooh, that doesn't quite work so well. We want something different. Yeah.
And we have access to internet. We have access to people like you who are willing to get out and talk about what it is that, you know, is going on in our bodies, and who have books and courses, and who basically are, you know, a little bit less interested in just kind of foisting your opinion off on somebody and more interested in helping them to understand how they can be given their own health. So, I mean, we have a lot of access to a lot of information.
We really do. Yeah, so right now, medicine should not be a mystery. I've had this comment from patients as well. You know, I go in and see my doctor, and I've had blood work done, and it's like they open my file, close my file, and say, everything's fine. And it's a big mystery to me. Well, what do you mean everything is fine? What are my numbers? So, you know, I got to laugh about it, but unfortunately this is what's happening. And people, they want to be involved. And that's one of the great things about the internet is that, and there's a lot of doctors out there that are getting on the internet and helping people that are looking for help. They're looking for answers. And one of the things that I say repeatedly in my book, I talk about whenever you have any blood work done, ask for a copy of those results for yourself. Legally, you are able to get a copy of that for your records.
Well, I would think so. I mean, shouldn't you be able to have copies,
you know, a lot of
people
your
x-rays and everything else?
Yeah, a lot of people there, they're nervous about asking for it, or they don't think they can ask for that, or they think that the doctor's going to get upset if they ask for that. It's like, no, that is part of your file. It's legally yours. You just ask for a copy. And I tell people, start getting, every time you have blood work done, get a copy for yourself, start building your own binder, and you can kind of start tracking these numbers.
And that's excellent advice. I mean, like I say, I rarely go to a doctor. I go to the dentist regularly, and now I'm going to have to start going to the ophthalmologist to make sure that I'm not in any deeper trouble than this guy insisted that I was. I'm not. But I always ask for everything. As far as I'm concerned, that's my body. Whatever you're doing to it, I need to know about it.
I don't understand. Nobody cares more about your body than
attitude.
You do.
Right.
Yeah.
Which leads me back to, you know, my next kind of train of thought, which is, what are some things that we can do if we are feeling fatigue? And look, every entrepreneur that I know, we run in a lot of the same circles, you know, online. We know a lot of the same people. And all of us are just going all the time. We're on all the time. We're working all the time. Look, and I'm not saying that we're not passionate about it. We are. We are enjoying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But there just comes a point where you have to say, I wonder if they're really taking care of themselves. So what are some tips and maybe advice that you can give to people who are listening or going, I think she's talking about me. Really, y'all, I'm talking about me, but just so you know.
Oh, and Denise, I'm talking about me too.
I know.
Because I've suffered with fatigue too. You know, part of my story is that I was 15 years in a practice as a chiropractor, and I realized, well, actually 5 years in a practice as a chiropractor, I realized that I really didn't like being a chiropractor and that I really didn't want to do it for the rest of my life. So I was back in the situation of, gee, what do I want to be when I grow up? Yeah, whatever, 30 years old. And I, you know, through just thinking about the patients that I was working with and struggling with, why isn't this patient getting better? Why isn't what I'm doing working? What am I missing? And trying to learn more and more things about health and wellness, I stumbled upon functional medicine. And I learned functional medicine, and of course it made sense to me, and I knew, like, this is what I want to do, functional medicine. In order for me to do that, I had to go back to school and get a naturopathic degree. And I did that back in 2009. I moved from Canada back to Chicago for 2 years. And I was in class 30 hours a week, plus exams, plus writing papers, plus studying. And I was flying back and forth to Ottawa, Canada, to see my patients. So I did that for 2 years. The definition of burning the candle at both ends. And all that stress and all that studying really wiped me out. And I just thought, oh, when I graduate, I'll just take some time off, get some rest, and I'll just bounce right back. And that did not happen. So after I passed my board exams, I decided it's time for me to treat myself with functional medicine. And I started testing myself. I tested my hormones. I tested myself for parasites. I changed my diet. I worked on my brain, and I finally got everything back working normally again. So, you know, for some of the listeners out there, some of them are struggling in their business, and they are the chief cook and bottle washer, mm-hmm. and it's because of putting all that energy out there that they're starting to feel fatigued. But I can also say, Denise, that I've had a lot of entrepreneurs also tell me that they're at the top of their game. Their business is going great. They've never seen growth in their business like they have. Their numbers are excellent. And then the day comes where their body just gives out and the fatigue hits them and they're like, whoa, because they've not been taking care of themselves along the way. So
I actually know somebody like that, big, big marketer. He's had to take, I think it's almost 2 years now, he had to step completely away and tend to himself. I mean, he's just
yes.
now starting to come back, but he was seriously at the top of his game, and all of a sudden I realized he wasn't there. His newsletter wasn't coming out. He wasn't putting out new products. His blog wasn't showing up, and I kind of wondered, but, you know, life gets in the way, and you start paying attention to other marketers and other mm-hmm. entrepreneurs and people who interest you. And about a year later, he popped up and said, yeah, I about killed myself. It's like, ooh. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I took that to heart because I worry. It's just way too easy to become immersed in everything that you're doing and put so much energy into it and not really tend to yourself. And that's really why we're having this talk today, so we can help people, you can help people pay attention to warning signs and learn to tend to themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to be able to share this because so many people need to hear what I have to say. So let's talk a little bit about fatigue because a lot of people have fatigue, probably just normal, but it's never normal. So let's just give a definition of fatigue. So I would say for you and for your listeners out there, think about how would you rate your energy from 0 to 10? And 0 would be no energy at all, and 10 would be that your batteries are on full charge. So think of that number, and then I'll tell you if you're not at an 8 or higher, then you are suffering with some level of fatigue. And
now,
for most
Dr.
of
Carey,
us,
when you say this, do you mean, you know, you're just taking a measurement across the board from the
kind
time
of like
you
on
wake
average.
Up to the time you go to bed? Or okay.
Yeah, kind of on
because,
average.
I mean,
yeah.
I come and go all day long. So average.
Yeah, a lot of people
gotcha.
Have ups and downs through their day.
Yeah, yeah. I know when I'm at my best. I know when it's time to walk outside and watch the dog chase squirrels. Okay, so keep on mm-hmm. going.
So yeah, if you're not at an 8 or higher, you are suffering with some level of fatigue. And the thing is that for most of us, that fatigue is actually brain-based fatigue. It's not so much physical fatigue in your body. For the most part, it's brain-based fatigue. Because what we do so much is just requires so much brain activity. And what can happen is that can slowly create imbalances within the four main brain chemicals. So there's serotonin and dopamine and acetylcholine and GABA. And a lot of people have heard of serotonin because when that one is low, very typically that gives people, like at the extreme, it would be depression. But just a loss of serotonin will make you feel like a loss of joy. You just don't get joy from the things that you used to do, either your hobbies or your interests or, God forbid, your business. And then dopamine. Dopamine might sound a little familiar to some people. Dopamine is the brain chemical that actually rewards us and motivates us to perform to our best. So I know after I graduated from naturopathic school, I had like no drive. I would start a lot of little projects, but I would get nothing done. And I was a big procrastinator. So if you have a hard time starting tasks or finishing tasks or having a hard time motivating yourself or just in general having a hard time handling stress, those could be symptoms of a dopamine imbalance, dopamine deficiency. And then the third one is acetylcholine. And acetylcholine is it's the neurotransmitter, the brain chemical for memory. So a lot of people would say like they have here and there, they have like a senior moment where they forget where they put their car keys or forget why they walked into a room or they forget why they picked up their cell phone.
I call that open refrigerator door syndrome.
Yeah.
Do it all the time.
You have a word on the tip of your tongue, but you can't access it. Your brain is kind of slowing down. Those are all very typical of acetylcholine deficiency. And then the fourth one is GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, GABA for short. And GABA is the only one out of the four that actually calms your brain down. So when GABA levels are low, you're going to feel more anxious. You're going to have an inner sense of tension, an inner sense of stress, feeling dread, for no real apparent reason, and just worrying about things needlessly. These are very typical of people, too, that cannot turn their minds off. And so a GABA deficiency, that's what that feels like. So those are the four basic brain chemicals. So again, a lot of what we do as entrepreneurs requires a lot of brain activity. And if we're not fueling our body and our brain properly, we can create these imbalances.
Well, and that's where I was going to go. How do we correct that? I mean, do we have to take chemicals? Can we do it naturally, which would be my preference? I mean, what do we do?
Yeah, you know, the majority of this, and I would say 99 cases out of 100, this can all be done naturally. And it really all goes back to the basic lifestyle factors. What you eat, what you drink, how much vitamin R are you getting, how much sleep are you getting, and exercise. So if we just think about diet, for example, and we were talking about a little bit earlier about how many of us will eat God knows how many meals during the day or during the week in front of our computer or at our desk. And
I try not to, but I have been known to do it.
Yeah, and especially, you know, we go through busy periods. I go through busy periods, too, when it's more like I got to eat on the run or I'm in the zone and I don't want to get out of the zone, but I do have to eat.
Right.
So some of that is you do have to find a way to make sure that your refrigerator is stocked with healthy foods and healthy snacks. Or, you know, some entrepreneurs out there, they might be at the point where they should be thinking about hiring a chef to come in once a week to fill up their refrigerator with meals. A lot of people that cannot afford a chef, they can themselves one day a week by themselves or with a friend buddy up and and make multiple healthy meals all at once and just load your refrigerator up so that you can just kind of heat things up and go. And then, of course, we always want to eat real food, too.
Right.
One of the things that I've accomplished this year is I've gotten off of my coffee addiction. In Canada, we have a coffee chain called Tim Hortons. And for you guys in the U.S., it would be the equivalent to Dunkin' Donuts. And they have this iced cappuccino drink, which is, none of it is, like, real.
Right.
Except maybe the cream that they put in there. But it's basically cream and sugar and some kind of coffee. Well, they call it coffee, but I think really it's just flavoring and whatnot. And I was addicted to these things, drinking them every day, sometimes twice a day. And my energy was up and down and up and down. And I just got to the point where I said, you know what? I don't know why I'm putting this crap in my body, so I'm just going to stop putting this crap in my body.
I bet you had headaches.
Ashley, did I have headaches? Maybe for a couple days. Yeah, because coming off of caffeine, it can give you headaches. I know I've had a couple people tell me like they had headaches for a couple weeks. So if you go cold turkey off of caffeine, ooh, that can happen. So I don't recommend going cold turkey. It would be better to wean yourself off slowly. But since I've done that.
I found that with tea. I love black tea, just plain black tea. The darker the better, no sugar, no nothing. Mm-hmm. But it kills my stomach. And you know, I have to be really careful about it. I'll drink it all day long until my stomach just says, are you kidding me? You just ripped out the lining. What are you thinking? But when I finally just said, okay, no more black tea, and I switched to green tea, I had headaches for days.
Yeah.
But I feel bad. My stomach is thanking me daily, like, oh, thanks, Denise. Appreciate that.
Yeah, so a lot of people that have fatigue are medicating themselves with caffeine and sugar to help give them more energy in the day. But the problem is that's actually fueling the fatigue more. So in my personal case, I found that once I got off that caffeine and sugar from these stupid ice caps, that my energy was actually more steady through the day. And it's kind of counterintuitive, but I actually feel better without that stuff in my body.
No, I agree with you. So let's talk about what people can do. I mean, are there any steps that they can take during the day, maybe keep a little, because I really believe that nutrition and exercise, some movement, I mean, you don't have to have a home gym, you don't even need to belong to a gym, but you've got to get your butt up away from the keyboard and move
it.
That's just all there is to it. And
I
find that, and I'm guilty, you know, I'll be here, I mean, I'm up and down like a jack in the box. I'll go do a load of dishes, I'll go outside with the dog, but you know, I'll find that if I am in my chair too long and I'm going to say 30 minutes is my breaking point, I've got to move. My body is saying, get up, go do something. But that leads me to my next point, because I found myself in the early days of my entrepreneurhood, if you will, snacking to just kind of get my energy back up. And I was just, you know, a few bites here, a few bites there. And at the end of the day, I said, what the hell did you eat today? And it really became something that I had to really kind of watch, because it was so mindless. Do you see that quite a bit, or am I just an anomaly?
It's just you, Denise. No, I'm just joking.
How?
It's a lot of people. And I used to do that too.
I take the question back. I want a do-over.
No, it's a lot of people, and I used to do that as well. So, again, it's trying to plan to make sure that you eat three good meals in your day. And some people do need a couple of snacks. So some people do feel best and perform best having something every 2 or 3 hours. And I'll share with you a tip for me that besides the whole caffeine thing, this has also been one of my saving graces that has helped keep my energy strong and level through the day. Is I've made this brain, I call it my ultimate brain energy smoothie. And so smoothies are very popular. They're very easy to do, you know, just put a bunch of stuff in your blender, you know, whiz it up and then go back to your desk and drink it while you're eating. I mean, drink it while you're working. You know, that's usually what people do. So what I was finding, Denise, is that I would have a smoothie and within an hour I was hungry again. And
really?
So I started, you know, changing my recipe. So, okay, what if I put more protein in? Okay, this time I want to put 40 grams of protein. Let's try that within an hour. I'm hungry again. Time I'm going to really jack up the fiber. I'm going to put a lot of flaxseed powder in there. Put a lot of fiber in there. Let's see how I do. Oh, within an hour, I'm hungry again. So the thing that really made the biggest impact was when I changed my smoothie and I started putting more healthy fat in it. So
like
I'm going to share with you.
People are afraid
now.
Of avocados, and I think those are wonderful. Yeah, I would love it because I have a Nutribullet, and I've had the same thing. You know, I'll make
I have a Nutribullet too.
Drink. Yeah, and an hour later, I'm going, and I'm not normally hungry in the morning ever. I am not a breakfast person. I don't eat breakfast. I don't enjoy it. But when I was trying to force myself to have a smoothie in the morning, it ruined my day. It did.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, I'm like, what the heck? I'm hungry. I'm never hungry at 11 o'clock in the morning. And my stomach doesn't wake up until about 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, this is not working. So please share your recipe.
So this is the recipe that just changed my life. And honestly, I drink this smoothie. I drink and drive. So I'll drink this smoothie as I'm driving to the office. And then
that
I'll see patients
so
for
wrong.
Like... Then I'll see patients for 6 hours straight, because when I'm seeing patients, there's no time for a break. But now I can see them for 6 hours straight, and I'm not hungry, and I can just keep going and going and going. So, okay, here's my ultimate brain energy smoothie. So in your Nutribullet or in your blender, you put in 2 big handfuls of organic spinach. So spinach is a superfood, and you're not going to taste it. And then on top of that, the fruit that I put in is just a half a cup of blueberries. Only a half a cup. Don't put more fruit than that. Again, blueberries are considered a superfood and actually have been proven to help with brain health. And then on top of that, I start putting my healthy fats. So I'll use either 1 to 2, well, I'll use all of these. So 1 to 2 tablespoons of a nut butter. I happen to like sun nut butter, which is ground up sunflower seeds. It tastes a lot like, when I'm out of that, I just use peanut butter. So 1 to 2 tablespoons
really?
Of nut butter.
Okay.
And then I'll put 1 to 2 tablespoons of coconut oil.
Yeah, I do that too.
And then I'll put 1 to 2 tablespoons of ghee, which is clarified butter. So that's clarified butter is just the oil, the fat out of the butter, and it all the milk solids have been removed. And that oil has a lot of vitamins in it.
It's ghee? How do you spell that?
It's ghee, G-H-E-E,
okay,
also known
it.
As clarified butter. And then on top
I'm
of that,
like
I'll
a
put,
crazy person.
Then on top of all that, I'll put, and you got to hang in here with me, I'll put 3 raw organic eggs. And the thing with that is that...
Eggs or egg whites, because I have organic egg whites in the refrigerator.
I put the whole eggs. Because it's the yolk of the eggs. A lot of people are afraid of egg yolks because of cholesterol, and that whole myth has been busted, so don't even believe that. But the egg yolks are a great, one of the best sources of choline. And if you remember earlier, I listed off the 4 main brain neurotransmitters. One was acetylcholine.
Right.
So we need choline to make acetylcholine to help our memory. Egg yolks are one of the best sources. And then, of course, the egg whites are a good source of protein. And then on top of that, I'll put 1 to 2 tablespoons of raw cacao powder. So basically this whole thing tastes like chocolate, like a chocolate shake. And then I'll add coconut water, however much coconut water I need just to blend it all up. And that's it. That's the ultimate brain energy smoothie. So it has all of the good ingredients, good healthy fats, because your brain is mainly fats. It has a bunch of superfoods in there, and it has some of the ingredients specifically to make neurotransmitters in your brain. So like I said, I've switched to this smoothie, and now I drink this smoothie, and I have steady energy for 6 hours.
And of course, if you have steady energy, you're not wandering around going open refrigerator door syndrome, what's in there that I can eat that I don't really need. So
yes.
I guess one thing just leads to another. Your brain is clear and functioning better, so you're making better decisions, and your body feels better. right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so then and, you don't feel like, you know, you're fatigued enough that you have to sit on the couch and turn on CSI or whatever it is that people watch. You actually may want to go out with the dog. I don't watch TV.
People these days are watching The Real Housewives of whatever.
Oh, my God. Not me.
But, yeah, okay. so the better you can fuel your body with food, the more steady amount of energy you'll have in your brain and your body. And as an entrepreneur and a small business owner, that means that the time that you are spending in your business, you'll get more out of that time because you'll be more focused. You'll have laser focus and concentration. You'll have a sharper brain. You'll have activity. And that will all have an impact on your bottom line.
Oh, no kidding. One of the big things that I read about online quite a bit is inflammation. And I'm guessing that what you're prescribing here helps with inflammation, or am I wrong?
Yeah. So in that Ultimate Brain Energy Smoothie, I mean, all of these things are considered anti-inflammatory foods. And so that's another reason. Like, there's multiple reasons why this smoothie works.
Mm-hmm.
But just in your diet, if you can eat more foods that are anti-inflammatory, and what that means is real food, basically
right.
Fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and healthy fats.
Now, healthy fats, describe that very quickly because I'm not real clear on what a healthy fat is. You know, I think butter is I know avocados are. I don't know about butter. I think margarine is crankcase oil. I don't think anybody should have that in their house. But what are some healthy fats that we can include? Because, look, you're absolutely mm-hmm. right. If your brain is not functioning, your body is not functioning, your soul is probably in a bit of trouble, we've got to pay attention to all of us. You know, every bit of us, not just how we look on the outside, you know, not just, you know, did we pick up our dry cleaning and, you know, we look pretty sharp. If we don't feel good, our brains are not functioning, and you're right, our bottom line suffers, no doubt
mm-hmm.
about it.
Yeah, so healthy fats that you can use in your cooking or like in, you know, a salad, that would be olive oil and coconut oil. And I mentioned it with a smoothie. It would be a ghee or clarified butter. You could just use regular butter. What the best butter would be butter that's organic from grass-fed cows. So those are the best sources. Salted or unsalted, it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So those are some, like, cooking oils and fats. And then you can also get healthy fats from, you mentioned it earlier, avocado is a great thing. And doesn't have much of a taste.
Oh, it goes every day.
Yeah, you can put that in your smoothie easily and not really even taste it. Avocado and any kind of nuts and seeds, so like walnuts, macadamia nuts. A lot of people are hooked on almonds, but kind of move away from almonds and kind of and get more variety in the nuts and the seeds that you eat.
I have a ton of nuts. I mean, I love pumpkin seeds, any kind of nuts. I love. Have you ever had black walnuts as opposed to regular walnuts?
I don't think so, no. I don't think they have those in Canada.
Oh, God. I will find some and send them to you. They have just this wonderful. They're hard to find, but, oh, my gosh, they are so from regular walnuts. Okay, what? See how fast this went? We've got 60 seconds. I told you it would go fast. Carrie, where can people find you on the internet? I know you've got this great book, and I know you've got a course, I think you said, that you put out for entrepreneurs to help them feel better. So where can people go to find you and find more information?
So if you're interested in my book, the website would be www.reclaimyourenergybook.com. And I guess the best place to find me, kind of my home base, would be at www.drcarrie.com, and that's spelled D-R-C-A-R-R-I. And that's where you can find my podcast, my blogs, Dr. Carrie TV. And if you're interested in learning more about entrepreneurial fatigue, you can just zip me off an email, and I'll get you the information on that course, because that course hasn't officially been launched yet, but a select group of people did get advanced copies. So if you're interested in that, you can just contact me through my website.
Right. Okay. Are there any last minute quick tips that you can give people who are listening and going, man, that hour went too quick? I didn't, you know, what were they talking about there?
Oh, there's so much.
It happens.
So much to say, but health really starts first with a decision to be more healthy, a decision to be more productive, a decision to put yourself first and to take time for yourself. So take good care of yourself, and it will be reflected in your business.
That is stellar advice. I wanted to ask you very quickly, and we're no longer streaming, but we are still recording. So
okay.
This will be available, you know, in Blog Talk Radio and in iTunes. When you said earlier at the top of the show that you hit a wall, you know, after you'd gone to school and flying back and forth, you know, from Chicago back to Canada, and you had to kind of reinvent how you took care of yourself. How do you mind sharing with us what you did and how long it kind of took you to go, oh, I'm back now?
Oh, sure. So it was about 6 months into that whole process that the fatigue hit me, and I knew it was because of all the stress I was putting myself through. And it was just, you know, it was one of those situations. It's just short-term pain for a long-term gain. You just got to suck it up. And so I sucked it up, and I went through it all. But after I graduated, and I took about 3 months of just resting, and I would sleep like 10 hours a night, and I would take a two-hour nap every day. But I still had fatigue. So once my license came in and I could actually start testing myself, the first thing that I did was I ran a cortisol saliva test to see how bad my stress hormones were. And they were like on flatline because I'd literally exhausted my adrenal glands. So I started taking some herbs, and I started also on a gluten-free diet, which is something that I had been resisting for like 3 years. I was very fearful of doing that. I thought it would just be too hard. And then finally I said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of feeling tired. I'm just going to do it. So what I did, and this is, I counsel a lot of people this way when you start thinking about making diet changes, is I worked on one meal at a time, and I just worked on breakfast. And it took me a couple of weeks just to master a gluten-free breakfast. But once I did, once I figured out, okay, this is what I'm going to eat for breakfast, here are my options, this is what I need to stock my, you know, pantry with and my refrigerator with, and this is where I buy everything. Okay, once I've got that mastered, and it took a couple weeks, then I worked on lunch, and I started mastering gluten-free lunch. And again, that took a couple of weeks, but once that happened, then I started working on dinner, and then I mastered gluten-free dinner, and then after that, gluten-free snacks. And there's so much information online that's just free about gluten-free recipes and really how bad gluten is for all of us. And I don't think we have time to even talk about that, but I did that. So
could you come back another time? Because we're covering so much information, I think it's so important. Would you mind coming back in early fall? I would love for you to come back because I have a ton of questions.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's so much I could share. I would be happy to come back, Denise.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, and you said something really important just now, and you know, I always say during these calls, these interviews with people, there's always one or two, you know, one of those moments where you go, oh, there it is. And you just said something so important, and that's that you mastered breakfast, and then you mastered, you know, you took the time to master one meal. Because it is scary. Our little brains just go, I have to make all these changes at once. And I don't know about you, but my little brain says, you're not the boss of me, and it's over. And it's not even game
exactly,
on.
Exactly, yeah.
Over.
Yeah, that's just natural instinct.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I love what
so
you
like
said.
So like I said,
I
resisted going gluten-free for three years, and I was very, very fearful of it. But
why?
That's what I
why
did.
Were you fearful?
Took it one step at a time.
What was frightening about it?
I just thought, well, I'll never be able to eat my favorite foods again.
Okay.
And it's just going to be hard. It's
tacos.
Just going to be too hard.
Right, right. And look, I live in the deep south. We will eat anything that doesn't crawl off quick enough. I mean, we cook. We eat great, great food. A lot of it is simply not good for us, and I have to be very, very careful. But I had not considered going gluten-free. To me, I always considered gluten to be kind of bread, and I'm not a bread eater, but I'm realizing it's probably everywhere.
Yeah, it's bread, it's pasta, anything that has flour in it. cookies, crackers, pastries. But yeah, gluten is actually hidden in a lot of foods, a lot of prepared foods, let's say.
Right. You've got
anything that has a battering on it is gluten.
Oh, you mean like
fried
shrimp?
But there's a whole other world. There's a whole other world out there. There's still a lot of delicious foods to eat, even on a gluten-free diet. But it did.
I can't give up my
fried
shrimp.
It really helped my brain,
my religion,
and it helped my energy.
Well, okay, I'm a convert now. But fried shrimp, I'm going to have a period of mourning. I really am. Like, oh, no.
Now, Denise, I would say at this point I'm on a low-gluten diet.
Okay.
So probably 90% of the time I'm gluten-free and 10% of the time I'm cheating.
Now, what happens, and I know we're over our hour, but I've got to ask, what happens when you're 90% free and then all of a sudden you do something that's, I wouldn't consider it cheating, but you add something back into your diet that is not gluten-free? Does it affect your body? Can you tell right away that you've done something that may not be in your best interest? Or is it just kind of okay?
I would say that a lot of times people can tell. So some of that is just becoming more aware and paying more attention to your body. I think a lot of people, they get so numb that they don't even pay attention to, like, how often do they have a bowel movement? Do you poop every day? I can't tell you how many patients are like, you know, I never even think about
that. Religion. I know. My grandparents talked about that all the time. I was like, God, talk about something else. Ah! But they were right. I mean, it's not something you want to hear about, but they're right.
Yeah, so the more you become aware of your body and just how you're feeling, and like we were talking earlier about just taking time when you eat a meal to sit at a table with some music on or outside and just enjoy the food, enjoy the environment, and just taking the time to see, pay attention to how you're feeling. If you put something in your body that your body's not agreeing with, and that could be a very healthy food, like you could have a food sensitivity to broccoli, you could have a food sensitivity to almonds, that's actually very common. You could have a food sensitivity to blueberries. It could be a really healthy food, but it's not healthy for you. So
right.
Paying attention to how you're feeling is one of the best things you can do.
Absolutely. Well, and I have one last question. Well, I hope I have one last question. I'm telling you, my little brain's on fire. I'm like, oh, ask her this. Hydration. Yeah, I love water. It is my absolute favorite drink. I love water. And every time I take a sip of water, I feel a little idiotic. I just go, ooh, that's so good. I love water. A lot of people don't. And I think it's a big part of what ails people, to my thinking, and I'm not a doctor, but I find that people just don't drink enough water. What do you think?
Yeah, you're right about that. And we didn't have a lot of time to talk about hydration, but I have had, and I talk about it in my entrepreneurial fatigue course and in my book, that you really do need to hydrate properly. And what they recommend is, what is your body weight right now in pounds? Cut that in half, and whatever that number is in ounces, that's how many ounces of water you should be drinking every day. And I've had entrepreneurs come up to me and say, you know what, Dr. Curie, in your entrepreneurial fatigue course, you talk about, you know, when you're sitting at your desk and you're starting to feel tired and your brain is starting to slow down, just drink a big, big glass of water. They're like, I do that. And my God, that works.
It does.
Yeah, hydration
does matter. Take a deep
breath,
stretch, and drink water. Absolutely. I mean, water to me is just, that's God's way of saying, you're welcome. Here you go. You have to have it. But anyway, that's a whole nother subject. Well, definitely, I want to get you back. Listen, tell people again where they can find you on the internet.
So I'm at drcarrie.com, and that's spelled drcarrie.com, and that's my home base. And that's where you can get my podcast, The Functional Medicine Radio Show, and you can get the link to my book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again, and my Dr. Curie TV, my brain is starting to shut off right now. My video series, Dr. Curie TV,
my Facebook
page, all
and
that stuff.
Facebook, I was going to say, you're very active on Facebook. Dr. Curie, thank you so much for being with me here today. It has been a pleasure, and it's been wonderful chatting with you, and I know our audience enjoyed the takeaways as much as I did. And I had at least two aha moments where that little light bulb went off over my head, and I've got your recipe. How happy am I?
I'm so happy about that, Denise. Really, the pleasure is all mine. I'm so happy to share all this information with people out there so that they get more empowered and they get a little bit healthier in their life.
Exactly. And with medicine being what it is these days, and here we have Obamacare, and you know, there you have, I think medicine,
socialized medicine.
This is just my personal opinion. I think it does more harm than good most of the time. Again, it's just a personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can start with the root, you being the root, and you know, correct everything that's going on in your body at home, I think you'll just be happier and healthier.
I agree. Save the medicine for the last resort.
Exactly.
Or second to last resort.
Yeah, penultimate. Listen, everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Dr. Carrie Drisga, and I will see you next week. And look for her podcast. Seriously, listen to her podcast. Thank you so, so much.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.